Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We're getting ready for a Packers preseason opener this upcoming Saturday against the Tennessee Titans. To help break down that game, we have joining us on the line a guest this morning. We have Marcus Eversole of WDUZ 1400 AM, 107.5 FM, The Fan in Green Bay. Marcus, how you doing this morning?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you. You bet. Thank you for all the coverage you've provided of training camp. You've been doing a great job. We put your Twitter feed in our live blog every day, so you're doing an absolutely fantastic bang-up job with that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Let's preview this game on Saturday here. The Packers take on the Tennessee Titans in their preseason opener. It was just announced yesterday that Morgan Burnett will not play in the game. So it looks like as if Micah Hyde and HaHa Clinton Dix are going to be the starters at safety, Marcus. Now, normally in the first preseason game, the starters don't get too much playing time, but is that going to change with kind of two guys who haven't played at safety at the NFL level too much?
I think that will change a little bit. I mean, without Morgan Burnett, you mentioned Clinton Dix and Hyde will definitely be in line for the start. They've been lined up with the number one defense since Burnett's been out. First it was the ankle, then the oblique. I think Clinton Dix is going to get more time. Just as a rookie, you know, I haven't really got a chance to see him in a live tackling situation. I mean, last couple practices, he's filled really hard against the run. Hasn't made any interceptions or any big pass breakups or anything like that quite yet. But he's been physical against the run. At the same time, it's hard to really put a lot of stock into that when he's not bringing anybody down. So I think he might get a little extended time. Hyde, I'm not sure. It's pretty clear they have big plans for Hyde this year, so I doubt he'll play overly much. But on Burnett, it's going to be interesting to see how long he's out, because Sean Richardson has had a great camp. Micah Hyde and HaHa Clinton Dix have played well. So there's guys breathing down his back, and you got to wonder what's the future of Morgan Burnett? How much is he going to play? It's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, Morgan Burnett certainly is on notice, I think, if nothing else, and the injury only compounds that. Speaking of injuries, another player who was lost earlier this week, Don Barclay, torn ACL. Looking at how that impacts the offensive line, Marcus, Derek Sherrod is going to be relied upon for a bigger role. Are we going to see him, do you think, at left tackle or right tackle Saturday night, or both places, or how do you think this will work out?
I think you'll probably see him a little bit at both. I think you're going to probably start him at left tackle with that second unit, but he could very well start at right. I think he'll get a little time at both because Barclay is going to be the backup right tackle, the backup at both guard spots. Sherrod, he's got the ability. McCarthy was asked about it this past week, and he said Sherrod is capable of playing on the right side. He's taken some reps there. It's kind of unique that, you know, Barclay came out of nowhere as an undrafted guy, and now Derek Sherrod, the first-round pick in 2011, has got to be his replacement. It's like that. I can't remember any scenario, at least with the Packers, where that was the case. But he's looked good in camp. I mean, he's had some nice plays. He's also had some not-so-nice plays. But it's nice to see Sherrod at least on the field early August in training camp without knee braces or anything like that. He's in pads and practicing. It's a welcome change, and he's going to have to step up this year because Barclay is not necessarily a starter, but that's a big loss on that line.
Interesting point you make about a first-round draft place replacing an undrafted rookie. Very interesting. Marcus, is there anything you're personally looking forward to seeing on Saturday, maybe outside the areas we just talked about, safeties, offensive line, anything you personally kind of keeping your eye on Saturday evening?
I can kind of give the generic answers, just seeing the rookies on the field in pads, you know, out there, and like I said earlier about HaHa Clinton Dix, and in live tackling situations. Like, you're actually making tackles, which is really important if you're a safety. So Quinton Dix, you know, making plays, seeing how physical he is, and he's a Simon Sure and things like that. And then Devontae Adams. There's one other rookie. I mean, you know, throw Richard Rodgers into the mix, too. He's had a great camp. But Devontae Adams, like a week ago, I would have said there's no way he unseats Jared Boykin as the number three receiver. He's made a ton of plays. I mean, he had a couple drops this past week, but he had a one-handed touchdown stab, excuse me, in the same practice. He had a big, nice catch in the family night scrimmage. He made a ton of plays. All of a sudden, I really think that number three receiver battle is just that. It's kind of a battle. It's going to kind of depend if the Packers want to have an outside guy as the number three receiver, like Jared Boykin, or Devontae Adams, who's looked good outside and actually in the slot. So that's a battle, and I think the preseason is going to be huge. I mean, the preseason is what made Jared Boykin a part of this team in the first place. So I'll be watching Devontae Adams closely on Saturday.
We're talking to Marcus Eversole of WDUZ, 1400 AM, 107.5 FM, The Fan in Green Bay. Marcus, new extra point. Saturday night, the first two preseason games of the year, the NFL is experimenting with, what is it, a 33-yard extra point. Do you think this is going to have any impact on the game?
I don't like it, frankly. I mean, I don't understand the reason to change it. It's like, you have a 33-yard extra point. What happens when the offense stalls on the 8-yard line and you kick a 25-yard field goal? That's worth three points from 25 yards. And then your extra point's worth 1 point from 33. I just don't get it. I don't think much will come of it. But if it does, hey, it's only an extra point. It's not going to necessarily take away from the game. Personally, I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't get it either. I'm right there with you. I think this will be a short-lived experiment. Not that something might be done with extra points at some point, but I don't think this is going to be it. Marcus, Clay Matthews and his thumb. He's going to be playing Saturday night for the first time since he's injured it, broken it twice, had surgery on it. Is the thumb going to be a factor for Clay Matthews?
I mean, it's kind of the million-dollar question, I suppose. I mean, if he's back at full health, he's one of the best defensive players in the league. Again, hard to tell. Training camp is so different than it used to be, obviously, and we all know that. You go there, and it's like a glorified two-hand touch practice, and there's really not that much physical drills. Like, I remember coming up as a kid and just watching the running backs go against linebackers and blitz pickup drills. And they would just be colliding. I mean, you could hear it across the street, some of the collisions. You don't hear that type of stuff anymore. So it's hard to tell with guys like Clay Matthews whether or not the thumb's bothering them or any lingering injuries they might have. But it's tough to tell. I haven't noticed anything with Matthews' thumb so far in camp. So he looks healthy to me. Obviously, he's got an incredible physique. He's got the perfect build for the position. Him and Julius Peppers, definitely going to be a focus for a lot of Packers fans. I guess time's just going to tell on the thumb, though. It's hard to tell anything right now.
Is it during practice? Has it been casted up, or is it a brace?
No.
Is it anything?
No, I haven't seen anything visible on his thumb. I think he's just got it in the glove. He might have it taped up, but no, definitely nothing close to the giant cast he had last year.
Well, we'll see if that changes in a game environment. Julius Peppers, it'll be his first game in a Packers uniform. How much will he play, Marcus, and how much will the Packers kind of show defensively their hand and the kind of the new twist they have in the tricks of in their bag?
I don't think they'll show much at all. I think they'll play really vanilla defensively, probably the same offensively as well. McCarthy's asked about that as well last week. You know, how much are you going to show? And pretty much said, not much. We're not going to show anything we're going to do in Seattle. We haven't shown anything we're going to do in Seattle so far in camp. As far as Peppers and Matthews, I think they'll both be maybe a series. They'll give them a series, make their debut. Hopefully it's a three and out for the Packers' sake. So you get them off the field after three plays. Really excited to see them together, though. I mean, Peppers has looked good. He does not look like a 34-year-old guy. I mean, we had a caller yesterday saying he's concerned about having a 6'7", 287-pound outside linebacker. And I think that's a valid point. You don't see 3-4 outside linebackers or outside linebackers, period, in that mold. But this is a team that started Nick Perry to start last season. It started Frank Zombo a few years ago. It's not exactly like you're replacing an all-pro with Julius Peppers. Peppers is light on his feet, much lighter on his feet, I think, and more, you know, flexible and athletic than Nick Perry in space, certainly. So not too concerned about that at all. I think Peppers and Matthews are going to be good. But tomorrow night, yeah, probably just a series or so.
Last question here, Marcus, that just kind of flashed in the top of my head. The Packers announced yesterday LaTroy Guion will officially not be playing, won't be making the trip to Tennessee. He's been out since the beginning of training camp with a hamstring injury. Is he losing his grip on a roster spot? Can LaTroy Guion still make this team?
I don't think he can. I think there's too many young guys behind him that are making the case to make the team. Kyrie Thornton's made some plays. Josh Boyd is powerful, if there's one word to describe him. B.J. Raji looks energized. I mean, you go down the list. Mike Daniels, Dayton Jones. There's a lot of guys that are making plays. Pennell, the guy from Colorado State Pueblo, is a big, powerful guy. So guys that you weren't necessarily expecting to make an impact are. They're catching your eye. And the one guy who's not, or the two guys that aren't, are LaTroy Guion and Terrell Worthy, both guys who can't get on the field, and it's hard to make the team when you're not on the field.
Interesting there. The Packers gave him a $100,000 signing bonus. If they cut him, it's going down the toilet. But anyway, I tend to agree with you. I mean, he's got to come back soon if he's going to make a push. Marcus, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us here on a Friday morning previewing the game. You're doing a bang-up job, and keep it up.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And we'll talk to you soon, Brian.
All right, take care. Marcus Eversole of WDUZ AM. Let me see, 1400 AM, 107.5 FM in Green Bay. They call it The Fan, joining us. I wanted to repay Marcus the favor. They've had me on The Fan before. I wanted to get him on the show, and glad we could preview the preseason opener with him as the Packers today traveling to Tennessee. Kind of interesting here on a Friday, new practice schedule kind of taking place for the first time. The Packers 2 days out from a game, kind of doing their walkthroughs. This is a change this season. Mike McCarthy is instituted 2 days out from the game. So yesterday, Packers kind of having a walkthrough practice, a jog through. Now today, actually, they're having a regular kind of practice, maybe a little bit, you know, quicker, briefer than usual, but still a normal kind of, you know, fast-paced practice that you would see any other time. It just so happens to be not open to the public today, though. One of three practices this training camp that will not be open to the public whatsoever. But busy day for the Packers, practicing early in the day, traveling to Tennessee later in the day in advance of tomorrow's preseason opener against the Titans. But, you know, just kind of continuing the discussion, a lot of items that I touched on with Marcus, but kind of want to give my own thoughts here. Interesting that I thought the story of the day was Morgan Burnett being ruled out of the game, but the impact that's going to have at the safety position. You know, Mike McCarthy even talks about how he really wants to see the starters play a lot in the preseason. You know, typically first preseason game, starters don't play much. You know, they'll play one series, maybe two, something like that. You know, it's just the first preseason game is typically a time where you're seeing guys on the roster bubble play a lot. This is their opportunity to stake a claim to a roster spot, get a lot of playing time. Whereas, I mean, the playing time is going to go up for the starters, the premier players, preseason game number two, preseason game number three, you know, in terms of getting them ready for the regular season. But game one, it's for the rookies. It's for the young guys who don't play much. Packers really going to have a chance to evaluate them well. And, you know, whereas Clay Matthews, Aaron Rodgers, Eddie Lacy, Jordy Nelson, I could go down the list, Josh Sitton and TJ Lang, these guys are going to play a series on Saturday night, probably. Who knows? The Packers might even withhold some of these guys entirely, perhaps. But the one thing I think that might change is the starters at the safety position. Seeing as you've got HaHa Clinton-Dix and Micah Hyde, two guys who have never played an NFL game at safety in their lives, they might get a little bit extra playing time than usual. They might not be part of that group that plays a series and then comes out. I think they're going to want to let these guys play a little bit, get used to the NFL speed of the game. Now, are they going to play half the game? I'm not sure about that. But I'm just saying, you know, they might be part of a group that doesn't exactly, you know, play one series and comes out. I would think they're going to play two, three, four series, get these guys a little bit of playing time. Not that there is an opportunity later in the preseason to do so, but they might want to see these guys get a little bit more of a chance. We'll see. You know, even though Micah Hyde, he's in his second year in the NFL, he's got a little experience under his belt last year. None of it came at safety. All kind of the slot cornerback position. But, you know, with Morgan Burnett out, in addition to him, you know, undrafted rookie Tanner Miller at safety will not be playing in the game either. Kind of with two of these guys out, that it's meaning bigger roles for everybody at the safety position. Not just Hyde and Clinton-Dix, but I mean guys like Sean Richardson and Chris Banjo, and then a fellow undrafted rookie, Charles Clay. Now these guys are all going to get increased snaps on Saturday evening because of this, with Burnett and Miller out of the game. These guys are going to play. I mean, basically, it's almost necessary that, you know, they all get more than a quarter. There's just, you know, I think the Packers are only going to have five healthy safeties on Saturday evening. So these guys are going to get a lot of playing time. Whereas, I mean, it just so happens that injuries have kind of impacted the depth at safety more than any other position early in camp. Now, apparently Micah Hyde, Mike McCarthy hopes he'll be back next week. He has an oblique strain. So it doesn't appear as if this is anything big for Morgan Burnett. Just something that's going to take a week or so. He's going to have to sit out. But Mike McCarthy is hopeful that he'll be back next week, as he said in yesterday's press conference. So Morgan Burnett could be back in the starting lineup. Is Morgan Burnett losing his grip on a starting job? Mike McCarthy said he still considers him a starter. I don't think they're ready to take away that from Morgan Burnett just yet. Like I said, he's been put on notice, I think, especially with these guys playing so well early in camp, from Sean Richardson to Clinton-Dix to Hyde. You know, they're not backing down from the competition and saying this is Morgan Burnett's job to hold. You know, Morgan Burnett's roster spot, I do not think, is in jeopardy, even though he is being paid more than what he's worth, or, you know, what he's produced at least last season, as he, you know, signed a multi-year contract extension, 5 years. I believe he's getting paid over $5 million a season, something like that. Morgan Burnett definitely didn't live up to that contract in year one last year, year one of a new contract. They can't cut him. I mean, even if he were to lose his starting job and be a backup, I mean, he's still worth being a backup on the team. Not worth what he's being paid, but he's still worth carrying on the team for the time being. Beyond 2015, who knows what's happening with Morgan Burnett. But anyway, anyway here, continuing our discussion of Packers preseason game here in the preview. Don Barclay going down early in training camp, so earlier this week, torn ACL, out for the season, it looks like, even though that hasn't been made official yet. They haven't made any official transaction or placed him on IR or anything like that. Still waiting for that to happen. But, assuming he's out for the season, which looks to be the case, Don Barclay won't play Saturday for sure. And the impact there is what happens to Derek Sherrod. Where's his playing time going to come at? You know, he's been receiving, especially prior to Barclay's injury, receiving most of his playing time at left tackle as the backup to David Bakhtiari, kind of with the second string. Not to say he hasn't been at right tackle and individual drills and things like that just to work on his footwork. But as far as teamwork goes, been playing at left tackle most of the time. That kind of changed the day after the Barclay injury, in that I think they were shuffling Derek Sherrod around at practice, reportedly, left tackle and right tackle. Now, where will he line up on Saturday night? Are they just going to, keep him at one spot for this game, and then in future games move him around? But, it's clear they got to start having him get comfortable at both spots. He's going to have to be the backup tackle on the team, your swing tackle, right side and left side. Because the Packers are going to keep 7, maybe 8 offensive linemen active on game days. You know, they can't afford to have a backup at every position. You know, they got to have guys who are versatile enough to play multiple spots on the offensive line. And they're going to have to count on Derek Sherrod to be the swing tackle. You know, if knock on wood, either David Bakhtiari or Brian Bulaga gets injured, he's going to have to come into the game. And he's got to be comfortable at both spots. Now, Derek Sherrod does have experience at right tackle. The game he suffered, that gruesome broken leg back in December of 2011, it came as a right tackle. So he has played there in an NFL regular season game type of environment. So it's not totally foreign to him, but they've been kind of concentrating on left tackle in training camp so far. So he's going to have to get used to kind of both sides here. So it'll be interesting to see how they split his time on Saturday night, whether he's getting time at both spots or just one spot, if he's playing with both the second string line and the third string line. I'm not sure, because maybe they don't want to expose Derek Sherrod to injury either. So, they got that to think about, in that, yeah, they want him to play, but do they want him out there for 3/4 of the game? Because they being the top backup, all of a sudden, if Derek Sherrod were to go down to injury, or either of the starting tackles for that matter, now all of a sudden the Packers are quite in a bind at the tackle position, not having much of a proven commodity at backup. I think the guy after Derek Sherrod would be Aaron Adams, and most people are probably asking themselves, who's Aaron Adams exactly? He was on the Packers practice squad last year, has never played in an NFL regular season game before. He's very much an unknown quantity. And, obviously he's spent the entire year in the NFL in the practice squad, but that tells you something, that he wasn't good enough, at least last year, to be on the regular season 53-man roster. Guys can improve, But expectations are modest for a guy like Aaron Adams. So Derek Sherrod definitely will be in the crosshairs Saturday night, and one of the people to keep an eye on, if nothing else. What else? Extra points, special teams. For the first time on Saturday, we will see the 33-yard extra point. So what is that? The ball will be spotted on the 20-yard line for extra points for kicks. But you know, the snap is 13 yards back. So that's what how it becomes, or is it the 10-yard line? Or what? Pardon me. The snap is 7 yards back. The end zone adds 10 yards. I get so confused when trying to do the math on field goals. But yeah, so let's see. The ball would be spotted at what? The 10-yard line, 15-yard line? 15-yard line, I believe, right? And anyway, it ends up being a 33-yard extra point. Mason Crosby will be kicking extra points for the Packers. I can't imagine this is going to impact him whatsoever. I mean, it's no different than a 33-yard field goal, you know, and it's going to be straight on. It's not going to be from the hashes at all. So it should be a rather easy field goal for the Packers and for Mason Crosby. I think this is going to be a short-lived experiment by the NFL. I can't imagine them ever going to this during the regular season, being, you know, that's your normal extra point length. And I understand that it's become almost so automatic that they want to see a little bit more degree of difficulty in extra points. You know what? I was just, you know, listening to an interview with Dave Revson of the Big Ten Network. And we're talking college football here, but I think the pros used to be the same way. Way back at the turn of the century, I mean, we're talking early 1900s, when football still resembled maybe rugby a lot more back in the day, he was talking about how, and Dave Revson has a new book coming out, that's why he's kind of going through the history of the game. But extra points back in the day, we're talking like, you know, early 1900s here. They used to have the snap wherever the guy crossed the goal line or wherever the touchdown was scored. So if the touchdown was scored way toward the sideline, that's where the snap of the extra point would be way back when. You know, I've just heard so many, like, people throwing out ideas of how to make the extra point harder. You know, whether it's simply lengthening the distance or eliminating extra points and it's just simply two-point conversions, or, you know, all sorts of ideas to make the extra point harder. I thought that was interesting that way back in the day, the spot of the football happened wherever the touchdown occurred, wherever the ball crossed the goal line or was caught in the end zone or wherever. So, I mean, it could be an extra point from way over on the sideline. But, I mean, it's interesting to think, too. I mean, if it happened to be the touchdown was scored on the sideline, would a team then, being, you know, knowing that the extra point kick would be from such a difficult angle and from so far away, would they then go for the two-point conversion instead? It's just an interesting concept. I don't even know how it would work if it literally was scored right on the sideline. I mean, what, you can't have the center right on the sideline. You need guys on that side of the football. So I don't know how they would handle it, but I just thought it was interesting to hear that, you know, how it was handled years and years ago in football, in organized football. Interesting, the history of the game. But anyway, Packers preseason opener Saturday night. I believe it's 7 p.m., right? 7 p.m. Statewide network coverage. This one is not on national television, although I should say I don't really know. Sometimes the NFL Network picks up, you know, the regional coverage of preseason games. I don't think this one is actually the case, but You should be able to stream it at NFL.com, though, part of their Game Pass. If you buy the package, you can watch the game there as well. But excited to finally see the Packers don some pads for the first time in a long time. And, play in a game environment. So looking forward to that. So that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central here at CheeseheadTV.com. I have no call to action today. I suppose after about a dozen or not even calls to action, I'm kind of running out of things for people to do here to support Cheesehead TV, but that's all right. Just enjoy the podcast that we provide here at Cheesehead TV, Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays, 8:30 a.m. Central Time. And we'll be back again Monday morning recapping the Packers preseason game. So we'll talk to you then, folks. Thanks to Marcus Eversall for joining us on the show. Thanks to our live blog director, Jamie Snowden, Alex Talich for helping out. We'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called Something Else by Keller Williams and the Traveling McCurries on Psi Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go. She was looking for something different.